Knowledge is like a baobab tree. No one individual can embrace it. Ladies and gentlemen, knowledge is not complete if it's acquired and never shared. We learn, we teach, then knowledge evolves.
Welcome. Okay. Hi, everyone.
Afternoon, D.
Hi. Hi, Mbali.
Hello.
Yes.
Good evening.
Okay, so welcome to the, I think this is the third information session that we're having, the HR profession, and I'm your moderator, Andy Imana Iraburi, the founder of Youth Evolve. Today we're talking about the HR profession. I have Mpo, who is our HR director, and I have Mbali, who is our HR intern. And I guess we'll learn more about the profession. We'll learn more about the challenges facing the HR professions in the 21st century and all of the nice things. So I hope you guys are ready for that. I will start by Mpo with his presentation. And yeah, Mpo, maybe you can also just tell us about yourself, like just a little bit background so people get to know who you are and all that.
Thank you very much indeed. I think it's an honor and privilege for me to be sharing insights and knowledge about the HR profession. Mpo is a very passionate individual who's passionate about development and making sure that other people are taking advantage of opportunities. I was born and bred at Limpopo in a very remote area called Gaphahla. I've been in the HR field for the past 10 years. I started as a trainee, and I'm currently working as a head of HR for a training provider at WestRed. And my qualifications include BCom honors in business management, a postgraduate diploma in HRD, and several other relevant qualifications in HR. I'm currently working on my MBA dissertation to be completed very soon. And I love helping young people. I think my reason to be involved with Youth Evolve, I saw what you guys are doing, and I've seen the impact since I joined Youth Evolve. We have made a serious impact in terms of assisting young people. And this is one of the things that will keep me working hard, because going all out and getting education and you are forgetting about people coming from disadvantaged backgrounds and you are not sharing this specific knowledge, for me, it's being selfish. And to take part, even if you assist one individual, you have done a bit of a progress in making sure that we become a better South Africa. I don't know if I'm not touching some of the areas about my life, but most of the time that I'm sitting and I'm not doing work, I'm involved with the work of young people. Simply basic things like assisting young people, working on CVs, assisting young people preparing for interviews, but just making a bit of contribution make me to feel I'm doing something about South African domestic challenges. Thank you.
Thank you, Mpo, for that. I think let's do the introductions first. Let's go to Mbali. Mbali, can you just also just tell us a little bit about yourself? Mbali? Mbali, please unmute your mic.
Oh, sorry, here am I speaking and my mic is off. I really do apologize. As long as I am, technology still has the best of me. But anyway, hello, everybody. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Mbali Ntlasithole. Born and raised in Johannesburg, from the south right through to the east. I am 23 years old of age. I'm currently working as a talent acquisition graduate trainee at a big retail organization. I studied industrial psychology and human resource management. More than anything, I was groomed to this path. I wasn't just waking up one day and deciding I want this and let's go for it. It's something that was influenced, and I am very, very passionate about it. So yeah, That's as much as I can say for intro. I'm hoping to add more qualifications to my name. So yeah, that's the one thing I'm looking forward to. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. So we're going to start the presentation now with Mpho. I'm going to switch on the presentation on the screen.
Thank you very much, Indy. I think we can start. It's not a very complicated presentation that we'll go through. I tried my level best to make it as basic as possible to ensure that our young people understand what we will be engaging on. You can go to the next slide. We will go through background of which I touched when we introduced and explained the HR career. And it will be an injustice for us not to talk about the labor market realities, take into consideration the state of South Africa and the global economic climate. We'll also touch the entry-level opportunities and close by going through the learning and mentorship side of HR. I've already explained that Mpho is an HR professional with over 10 years experience in the field. I'm currently working as an HR head, and previously I worked in manufacturing, engineering, and public service. And part of my career, I was privileged to have assisted an engineering provider to build a baseline for HR, which means studying an HR function from scratch. My qualifications, I'm not going to dwell into qualifications, but among all the qualifications that I have, I've got a BCom honors in business management, a BTech in HR, and PhD in human resource development, currently completing MBA, and there are several other qualifications that I have in the HR. And I am with Mbali, who will share a bit of insight on her presentation as well. She's an HR graduate, an awesome lady with experience in the talent acquisition space, and she's working for one of the largest retail group in South Africa. Her qualification is mainly on industrial and organizational psychology. An HR career. Most people, when you ask about HR or why they want to be in HR, they only talk about the people component. I enjoy working with people. I want to work with people, but it's not very clear what is it that they want to achieve with an HR career. And HR is very broad. It's one of the strategic functions you would have in business. Regardless of the size of your business, it can be a very small business. You still need to do the HR function very well. Human resources is what we do. We manage the employee life cycle. Employee life cycle, we simply mean when an individual decides to join the organization, from the process of applying, the cycle starts there. And employee life cycle will include activities or practices such as talent acquisition, your training, industrial relations, policy and procedure development, engagement, which is very critical post-2020 pandemic, performance management, your compensation and benefits. And what are the paths within HR? Because it's very broad, you will need to choose a specific area. You've got two options when you join human resources career, or when you are working in HR, you need to decide as early as possible in your career that you want to be a generalist or you want to become a specialist. A specialist can be very specific to a function like performance management, or you can be a specialist with two areas of human resources. A generalist, you need to be aware of all practices or functions within HR, starting from your talent acquisition, which is recruitment, up until your employee relations and all other relevant HR functions. Now, the biggest question is, what qualification do you need for you to be in HR? You can go and study a degree in HRD, HR or industrial psychology from a traditional university or even University of Technology. Or you can opt for a diploma if your APS or the marks are not allowing you to go for a straight degree and still specialize in these three areas that I've indicated. Or you can go to a TVET college. Most of the guys are saying, because we've got a lot of guys that are studying HR, if I go to a TVET, I'm not going to get the opportunities. I'm going to touch that area to indicate that even a TVET graduate, there are opportunities for TVET graduates. You can move to the next slide. Now, I've indicated that in HR functions, it can be, or HR graduates can be, that they are overpopulated in the labor market. We've got a lot of people who have studied HR, and some of them are saying that I've studied HR, I've never got the opportunity to utilize my career. And we always need to go back to labor market to understand what are the realities. It goes without saying that we cannot discuss opportunities or a profession in South Africa without talking about the reality of unemployment, which is sitting at 32.9. The unemployment rate during the first quarter of 2023, it was rocketed by statistics as 32.9. And post COVID-19, the pandemic, a lot of things changed in the HR space. Organizations were ready to work remotely. Some were ready to work the hybrid model, but it was never a thing before 2020. And after 2020, it's a must that organizations need to start tapping into the specific space of remote work. And even this type of engagement, ordinarily or traditionally in the past, we would go to individuals at schools. We will try to have a group of people, and the coverage wouldn't be as broad as it is right now, because you would go to specific individuals that you can talk to. But now we are streaming online on all social media platforms. Any individual can tap into the space. So even the hybrid and the remote work type of method would be with us for a very long time. It's a new way of work. It's not going to change. Organizations that are still behind or traditional, they need to adapt. And with these changes, we are now moving into an area where engagement became very, very important, because people lose touch. People can feel neglected when they are working remotely. People can feel that the employers are not taking care of them, and there are issues of mental health. Engagement becomes a very critical component. I don't want to sort of confuse young people that want to come into the space. It's just employees need to feel that their employers are there for them. There is that engagement of that level of talking and understanding where they are. And because there have been a loss of skills for specific areas like your IT, your electronics, retention is also a key factor post COVID-19. We need to also look at the effect of legal compliance in the remote space. We've got POPI Act, which is one of the legal pieces in South Africa getting a lot of attention. I see some of the employers already getting fines because they are not doing their part in terms of complying with the requirements of the POPI Act. So even the legal component is sort of gaining a specific space during this remote transition. And there are specific trends that came with the pandemic itself. I'm going to talk about one that is all over the media and people are talking about it, which is quite quitting, where you've got an employee is part of you. They are working, but they are no longer going over and above. They do enough just not to be terminated. They work to the level where their head is above the water, but they are not doing additional work that they would ordinarily do. They cannot go an extra mile to assist the business to survive, because they've got certain things that they are not happy with the employer. And there are specific texts and strategies that HR people will then go into the space to assist the employers to deal with the matter of quiet quitting. Organizations are now pushing for diversity, equity, and inclusion, which is also a factor in the HR space. And in certain instances, it's meeting a bit of resistance. It's not something that is welcomed by everyone and all the organizations and the relevant stakeholders. And we need to also look at the reality of there's changes in terms of demand of the type of HR roles that are in the market. We are seeing more of chief HR officers being available, opportunities are available in that specific space, which means organizations are now realizing that HR is a very strategic component. And if they are to make it in the market, they need to have a strategic leader on the strategic table to make the decisions about people agenda. Hence, the chief HR officer is becoming a very good position. And out there in the market, we are seeing more people advertising or more organizations advertising the chief HR officer role. We are seeing HRBP, which is Human Resource Business Partner. Also, a lot of opportunities in that space. We're seeing the ER manager. As much as we can automate some of the functions with technology and the growing rate of using a digital platform in the HR function, but there are certain things that you cannot automate. The relationship with your employees, you cannot automate. You need to be there for the employees. We are seeing concepts where managers are expected to become coaches. Hence, I've written a leadership coach as part of the roles, which is open in the HR space. So even the managers that are within HR now are starting to learn more to become coaches. We've got a role of an OD and performance specialist, which is also growing because now people are transitioning from working traditionally from offices. They have to go and work in their homes or from everywhere because there is an option where you don't just work remotely. You can work everywhere. You can go to a McDonald's and start doing what you are supposed to do. The performance management system is sort of shifting. And performance management specialists are becoming people that organizations want to hire. So it's an opportunity for young people who are studying in HR who want to be specialists to go into the space of performance management and be performance management specialist. Entry-level opportunities. Now that I've explained a bit about the labor market and the challenges that we are going through, and I've indicated that it doesn't matter where you do your qualification. You can do your qualification from a traditional university like your VES or your UCT. You can come from TUT or any other university of technology. So you can go to your TVET colleges and do your qualification. Yes, we do understand we've got a challenge of unemployment in South Africa. But what is very key is for you to sort of find ways to be distinctive. You need to be different from the rest of the guys. And I'm going to be very honest. There's only one factor that can give one an opportunity to be different from others. If you've got 1,000 applications of people with HR degrees, obviously you look at the performance of these graduates for you to give them the opportunities. So it doesn't matter where you're starting, but it's very important for you to pass very well. If you are doing national NATED qualification like your N6, or you're doing a BCom in HR, you need to work for very good marks so that it can give you the opportunity of entry. Yes, we are just too many in the HR, especially at the entry level space. You can look at internships or learnerships. And I'm saying internships and learnerships, you need to know where to look for internships and learnerships. We are all looking for big brands when we look for opportunities, but sometimes opportunities are lying in small businesses. Over 60% of South African employment is not coming from big companies. You need to check these organizations where the owner, originally they would do human resource, they'll even go and do their own finance. As the business grows, an opportunity for human resources will open up. Most of the organizations in SME companies, they started where the managing director or the CEO would be responsible from operations up until finance. But it becomes practically impossible for you to run everything. And as a young person, you can approach companies that you know, especially in the East End, where most of the small companies, especially manufacturing and engineering, they are in those areas. So you can approach these companies to say, you are working on your projects at school, or when you do assignments and you need to work on projects, you can approach them and ask for opportunity for you to do your practical assignments or your practical HR work with them. And later you can even volunteer to assist with some of the HR work that they require, like policies. Most of these organizations, they will hire a consultant that would come and write policies which are very generic and not talking to the actual operations. But if you go into the space and understand what they are doing and offer your services, and as a young person, when you start, what is important is for you to learn. you cannot start by earning without learning. I always say that a young person should focus on only learning. Then later you can learn, you can earn for the experience you are bringing to the table. There is an organization I'm sharing, which is called HRSS. It's Human Resource Support Solutions. They've started a very nice program, which I was part of it when I started my career, where they take young people with the qualifications, they give them a specific training, and they will then take these young people and talk to school principals in private schools and also negotiate with the business owners to sort of place these young people as HR trainees to do basic HR function or to build an HR function. So funding, obviously, they'll go to government for to pay the stipend. So as a young person who's looking for opportunities in HR or who's still studying human resources, you need to follow these organizations like Human Resource Support Solutions and find out information how to become part of their program. And you need to find information around small companies around your area, if you're in Gauteng or where you are studying, and start visiting this organization to see if they cannot give you the opportunity to start practicing what you have learned. The second thing which young people should tap into is, I call it information and network. It is very critical for young person in the HR space to build a specific network. And for you to build a network, you need to know where to find information. The first thing that I believe you need to do is to follow South African Board of People Practices. Most people, when you say HR, they still think of HR admin. They don't know that we are a very recognized profession like the accountants. We belong to a board called South African Board of People Practices. And they give a wealth of information that can groom a young person to become an HR leader. You need to follow HR leaders on LinkedIn. You can't be in HR or have a dream to become an HR leader, but you're only following people that are not in that specific space. You need to know who are the key people in L&D, who are the key people in performance management, who's Dave Ulrich in HR field, who are the guys that I can learn from in South Africa. You don't necessarily have to have one-on-one engagement, but by just following them, they share relevant information. When there are opportunities, you will then know where to seek specific opportunities talking to employment. And because we've got specific challenges because of the number of people doing HR and some of the people who are not from HR coming into HR because they've developed the love of working with individuals, of contributing via a people management function, you need to consider if you are not winning with the HR function, you can gain entry via a role which is outside HR. I've seen individuals who started as a receptionist and they went into HR and they became HR managers. And I've seen individuals who came into HR and they started as cleaners. I know it's very tough for a graduate to start with roles that they believe they didn't go to school for. But we all understand that is tough in South Africa right now. For you to get to a specific organization, maybe you cannot go through HR without using a straight line method. But it doesn't mean all the doors are closed. Maybe they've got a role in administration. You take an administration role, then you can work yourself up into the HR space. I think what is key is that you need to be very open. And when you are still at the entry level, you don't choose specific roles. You take whatever that is available if opportunities are not coming. And with that specific role, you can work yourself into the space where you will then grow. You can move in there. The HR candidate program, this is a very good program and it's very special to me because I learned a lot while I was still studying at Val, the first thing that I did was to make sure that I get very good marks. I'm not here to talk about marks, but just to indicate that it's very critical for an HR person when you are still studying. For you to get specific opportunities, you need to work very hard. So I worked very hard to get good marks. But one thing that I did during my time at the Val University of Technology was to follow SAPP. The late Marius Meyer was still a CEO. I learned a lot from him. And for the first time that I met him was when we did the graduate program with HRSS. It was my first time meeting Marius Meyer. But I learned for over 4 years without having a physical interaction with Marius Meyer. So I would follow anything that they say about the industry, anything that they talk about the professional. There was a magazine that they sent, it was called HR Voice. Now it's, they've changed the name now. So one thing that you can do for yourself as a young person who's planning to become an HR practitioner is to get hold of South African Board of People Practices, explain to them that you want to follow a HR candidate program. The details are shared here. You can write an email to info@sapp.co.za. After the completion, or before the completion, you can even call them. The number is shared here. You can Google. You will find the information. This will help you because you will have all the information that you need. The information that you then read from SAPP, you will direct you to other relevant sources. You'll know about CIPT, which is another professional body, an international one, where you can get a lot of information. You will learn about IPM, where you will get a lot of information, and you will learn about relevant platforms where you can get HR information that will then assist you to be distinctive from thousands of graduates that we have. And you can then learn and become a better version of yourself and be presentable for opportunities when they become available. Learning and mentorship. If you are not passionate about learning and development, HR is not for you. I need to be very honest. There are specific professions where you learn, like if you are an apprentice, you learn a specific way of doing things and you're using your hands. And once you have perfected a specific skill, you can be fine if you don't, even if you don't continuously develop yourself in a specific direction. But in HR, if you are not passionate, if you are not learning fanatic, you'll be very irrelevant. It is just like being a pastor without the Bible. If you don't understand the word, it will be impossible for you to sort of share or direct your congregants about the direction of God. So learning doesn't necessarily mean you need to go and have 5 degrees or 6 degrees or continuously register formal qualifications. Learning happens in different ways. We've got LinkedIn, and I know most of you guys are there. We've got Facebook. Most of the guys are on Facebook. You choose a specific content that will help you. You look at the type of guys that you follow. If you only have guys that are only talking about the things that do not add value, then you sort of, you change the type of people that you have value. There are a lot of things that you can learn from social media, even TikTok. I know most of the people that are spending time off TikTok, and you can learn from TikTok, and TikTok can change your life, or you can waste time on TikTok. So if you are in the HR space, or if you've got intentions of becoming an HR practitioner, one thing that you need to understand, you must be a lifelong learner. Lifelong learner is that you constantly have to develop yourself. And the second thing that I want to touch is that, just like any pastor, if you don't have passionate for development of others, you wouldn't survive in the human resource space. Because a pastor is responsible to teach the congregant about the direction of God. And the pastor is also responsible to ensure that when they go off tangent, he will bring them back. So in HR, first you need to have that passion of making sure that you are seeing people developing. If you don't have that passion where you would want to see people becoming better versions of themselves, then it will be difficult for you to grow and to make impact in this specific space. The key thing that you also need to take into consideration is finding a relevant HR mentor. Again, some of the guys, when you approach and you say, I want you to be my mentor, they might say they are too busy. Some of the professionals, they are too busy to assist young people. It's unfortunate, but you don't necessarily have to have the numbers or the constant engagement with your mentor. By simply following them, getting grasp of their content and what they share on a daily basis or weekly from Facebook, on LinkedIn, or whatever platform, if they've got their own website, some of the guys that are working as HR leaders, they more often start their own organizations or become speakers. You can follow whatever content that they share on social media. And from there, you start learning. They become your mentors, but there's no formal relationship of mentor-mentee. And you can learn from them. And if you've got a guy that you can approach on LinkedIn to say, whenever I've got challenges, I want to call you and have an engagement with you, you approach them and you have that relationship. And online mentoring is much easier. You don't have to meet them. You can call them whenever you've got challenge if they allow you. But it's very, very critical that you find a mentor, because without a mentor, it will be very difficult for you to understand certain things. And every person that you see growing from start, which is entry level, and to become a head or an executive, there are specific mentors that play the role. You can't do it on your own. You need other people to direct you. You need other people to support you. You need other people to tell you that, I like your option, but given the experience, this is what I'll do. And these people will then contribute to your direction. HR is exciting. It's a very good field. If you find a very good mentor, there are a lot of opportunities in HR, as much as entry is a challenge because we've got an overpopulation in terms of graduates. But if you get into HR space, opportunities start to open up and you can really, really grow in this specific field. Thank you, Ndi. Before we go into questions, I think
Yes, Mpono, we can continue.
Yeah, before we go into a specific question, I just want to say that our mentee, Mbali, will then share specific insights. Then we will open a dialogue for questions.
Okay, thank you. Mbali? Okay, we're going to start. We'll put your presentation on here.
Okay. Thank you. Dee, please let me know when I can start.
Yeah, you can start now.
Dee, are we ready?
Yes, you can start now.
Oh, can I start?
Yes.
All right. Hello, everybody. Thank you again for joining us. As per introduction, my name is Mbali Sithole, and today I'm just going to take you briefly through a part of HR. I want to believe that it's the heart. I'm going to sound like I have favoritism, but it really is that one side of the heart of HR, which is talent acquisition. It's become a norm to me, and people ask me, what is talent acquisition? And I'm like, yeah, it's in the name. So I'm about to take you guys through a very interesting part of HR, and yeah, so the topic that I'll be running you guys through will be, what is talent acquisition, the difference between talent acquisition and recruitment, which is a very common question that is asked and people that are not really aware of. And I'm also going to take you through what we do in talent acquisition and the kind of requirements that you would need in order to get into the space of HR. And yeah, So basically, what is talent acquisition? Straight to the point, talent acquisition focuses on attracting and hiring skilled employees. It also works on recruiting and retaining those employees for the benefit of the organization more than anything. An organization or business or however you want to refer to as a company is basically not much without its human capital. The human capital is the source that breeds the success of an organization. If you don't have people running it, you don't have an organization. And yeah, they actually are the strings to keep it alive more than anything. They're there to keep your processes running. They're there to brand your organization. They're there to groom it, and they're there to keep it alive. That's how I've learned how to see it for as far as I've come in this department of HR. And yeah, I can say that when people say, what is talent acquisition? When I say it's in the name, I basically mean that what we do is that we look for the talent of the organization. We go out hunting, searching, retaining the talent of the organization. And that talent needs to be solely based on the organizational culture, on the structure of the organization, and the needs of that organization. Your talent is nothing if it does not match the values, the objectives, or the purpose of that specific organization. It makes it hard for you to succeed in your organization, or even succeed in that role in that organization, be that your talent does not match the organization. To refer to an example that I recently had experienced, about 2 weeks ago, I attended a career fair. And in that career fair, what we're basically doing is that we were head hunting people that are going to be graduating soon from an institution. And what they wanted to know is why, how would they be successful in applying for any of our roles? And I think what I highlighted the most is that you have to match the organization. Like your talent has to be relevant to the organization. It can't only be relevant to you, because then it means it doesn't benefit the growth of the organization. So overall, you just need to be a great match to the organization. Even if it's just a minor percentage of researching about the organization, find out what they're about, find out what they do. Does it match you? Does it match who you want to be in your profession? Does it match how you want to grow in that professional environment? And, you know, does it match the kind of structure that you want to be part of professionally, to say the least? And yeah, so... And then number two, what is talent acquisition and what is recruitment? So in talent acquisition, it's basically the recruitment. So when you say talent acquisition, you basically mean it's the umbrella of recruiting. It's the mother company, to say the least, or the mother department of recruiting. So what I can say is that with recruitment, it's mainly about filling the roles and the vacancies, and it's basically short term. So, but with talent acquisition, the reason why it's so different to recruitment is because it's an ongoing process. You know, it doesn't have a stop time to say, after 6 months, we are going to stop talent acquisition. No, because should the organization grow, or should the organization venture into different types of needs, you're going to need talent acquisition to be able to acquire those needs, to be able to grow that organization. The organization does not grow itself. It needs the people, which is the human capital, to allow it to grow bigger and to have that great success and to satisfy its need. So that's why talent acquisition is more long-term, and recruitment is more of a process that talent acquisition follows in order to achieve this organization needs and to achieve the organization's purpose and to highlight its value. So yeah, that's basically in a nutshell. It is two different parts of talent acquisition in its own. But what people normally mistaken it for, they mistaken talent acquisition to recruitment, but it's actually recruitment is actually just a process that we as talent acquisition consultants go through in order to achieve our role as the talent acquisition department. And yeah. So and then our third topic basically focuses on talent acquisition process. To keep it short and sweet, this is basically the recruiting process that I was that I mentioned in our previous slide. First thing that we do is that let it be known about the roles that are available in the organization, and that means advertising the roles. So all those roles that you see on LinkedIn, on the career websites, or whichever website that you use, Career Junction, PNET, those sites, the jobs that you see there are put up by the talent acquisition team of that organization that is recruiting. We put it out there that, hey, here's a role, we have a receptionist role available. Here we go, please put it up, please advertise, get the word out there. And yeah, another form of advertising that we normally do that the organization that I'm currently working for, that I've seen as part of advertising, is basically going to these different career fairs at different institutions or universities, where we get there and we tell these third years or these final years that are about to graduate that, hey, this organization like this, we offer these kind of roles, we think you'd be a good fit because of 1, 2, 3. So that's also another part of advertising. We're advertising ourselves as an organization, putting the word out there that, hey, there is an organization that wants your talent, that wants your skills, or that wants to skill you rather, that wants to add on to your professional background. Here we are. So that's part of advertising. And then by screening and selecting, so basically after that, we get your CVs through, whether it's PNET, whether it's Career Junction or LinkedIn, however, or even sometimes organizations actually have their own system where they put up. So normally, for example, if we have Youth Evolve would have their own site where they put up jobs that are available at Youth Evolve. And what we do now when we screen and we select is that we take those CVs that you've sent to Youth Evolve website and we screen them. By screening, it means that we go through the process of checking, do you have the right qualification? Do you have the right skills? Tell us more about yourself. So basically, we're just reviewing your CV and what you have provided to us in order to convince us that you are good enough for the position and why we should consider you. So that's basically what we do, and we screen and we select. And then basically, we go through an interview with you. We call you through an interview. And after interviewing you, should you be good enough for the position? Some organizations don't go through the fourth step, which is psychometric assessment or technical assessments. They don't do that. They just go through the interview. From interview, they immediately jump through to the fifth step and then 6, 7. But some organizations prefer to stretch it further depending on the role specifications or the role description. If you are required to take an assessment, it's because we want to see how you would work in a specific environment. We want to see you in more, we want to analyze your skills in a more scientific way, to say the least. This is going to sound biased of me, but I don't really like psychometric assessments. I don't like technical assessments. I feel like they limit the individual. You cannot judge an individual by answering just a couple of questions that were put together by an AI. I don't think that's fair. But yeah, that is just me being biased. I think there's just so much more to a human being in terms of their skills and their knowledge and their willingness to learn. So sometimes it's very unfortunate because you find organizations that actually limit their selection to psychometric assessments or technical assessments, which is pretty unfair. But that's why we, the new gen, is coming into the world of work, coming into this world of HR, because we're trying to phase in this idea that there's so much more to recruitment or just HR in general that could be not so traditional and not so difficult and not so on paper, you know, just a way that accommodates the individuals for them to show their best selves. You're just telling us about yourself and showing us that you have the willingness to learn the specific skill or to carry out a specific skill, and not just base it on information that has been gathered through science. And then next step, background checks. So background checks are basic. We just want to know, it depends on the organization again, as I said, should we want to know about your criminal record, if you have any, should we want to know about your credit record, should you have any. For example, if maybe we want to do a background check on someone that we're going to hire as an accountant at Youth Evolve, we want to know how your credit background is looking, should it be necessary. But it normally applies for people that are going to be working in a financial work work setting that involves finances and money. We want to know how your credit is looking so that we are not scared that you will steal the money from us because your credit record is terrible. So I think sometimes that is the reason. I might be wrong, but that's normally what is on paper. So that's what background checks do in case of anything that we need to know that is behind closed doors. We want to know, especially if it will affect your role or it will affect you as an individual. But I'm also very biased on that background check. Sometimes I don't feel it's fair to judge people about their past. If he's coming forth and saying, I can do the job, take their word and skill them. And then our sixth step would obviously be offering our candidate. That is us telling you that, hey, this is how much we're willing to offer you. These are the benefits. Are you in? Are you out? That's basically what the offer stage is all about. And then basically hiring and onboarding, also very basic to understand. When we hire you, we're telling you, hey, welcome to the organization. We onboard you by introducing you to the team that you'll be working with, the space that you'll be working in, and what it's like to work in that space in this specific organization. And yeah, that's in a nutshell what the talent acquisition process includes. And it's basically 360. It goes just around. And if you have another role to advertise, again, this is the very same steps that we're going to follow in order to successfully indicate and select the right individual for the right job and for the fit of the organization's needs. And then next step is basically this is just like a bonus. So what kind of roles do we have in talent acquisition? So we have a talented manager who is in charge of the talent acquisition team. And we have a talent manager who is in charge of their talent acquisition sort of like branches. So the talent acquisition manager will be under the talent manager. And then we got a talent acquisition specialist. Some of the specialists, they normally refer to them as consultants as well. But if you're a specialist, it means that you have exceeded the number of years of experience in that specific role. And now we can refer to you as someone who is specializing in this department and you're not just still learning. But you do also still find specialists that are still learning the ups and downs and the ropes of talent acquisition. But now we refer to them as specialists because they've reached that point in their professional career. And, you know, it's always good to, you know, always change that name tag so that you recognize your growth in that specific department. And then our talent acquisition consultants are people that are stepping into the department itself, to say the least. Maybe you have about 2 years working in talent acquisition. So we do the same job. Whatever a specialist does, a consultant does, but obviously the specialist would have a much bigger fish to fry. But with the talent acquisition consultant, it's very I won't say average, but it's basically just dealing with the ins and outs of talent acquisition, but on a more mid-senior role. And then talent acquisition leads, very similar to talent manager, but this person now can also become a talent acquisition manager. So this person, a talent acquisition lead, would basically report to the talent manager. They're just below the talent manager, so meaning they are working towards the top of the hierarchy. So they're working towards becoming the talent acquisition manager. So yeah, that's basically in a nutshell what our roles have to do with. And then next we have the kinds of requirements to get into talent acquisition. As Mpo has mentioned, basically any HR related diploma, degree or postgraduate qualification, and obviously it will depend on which part of or which kind of role you're applying for in order to know the specific number of years in experience that you will require. It's all in the role that you're applying for. So yeah, that's basically in a nutshell what talent acquisition is all about. Pretty exciting, very nice. And you have to have the heart to work with people. Like Mpo had mentioned before, you won't succeed in HR if you are not people oriented. You are not passionate about what you do. It's very emotional and mentally demanding. You need to be there because you love to do it. You deal with people every single day, people with different personalities, people with different emotional intelligence, people with different IQ levels. And, you know, as different as we are, you just need to love what you do in order to succeed in this department. And yeah, and honestly, for me, it's just been a great roller coaster. I'm still learning, and I look forward to learning even more about it. But the best part about it is that I know that this is my niche. I will obviously look forward into learning about all other departments of HR, but for now, I'm set and going forward with this specific department. And yeah, and I hope to influence a lot of people to sort of look into it and want to get into it and, you know, prosper moving forward in their professional careers. And thank you. Thanks, Cindy.
Thank you so much, Mbali, for that, and Mpo. It was quite informative. So now we're going to go to Q&As. We'll start with social media. We received a question. I think this is for Mbali by Isaac Mutiba. He said, does this mean recruitment is solely focused on just filling in the roles irrespective of talent? I think that is, if I'm not sure, it's meant for Mbali.
Yes. Okay. So like I said, talent in talent acquisition means that we are acquiring the talent. So as much as we're filling the role, but for us to fill that role, your talent needs to be a best fit for that role. Filling is just a minimal word to refer to it, but basically we are talent searching. That filling is just meaning that we are looking for the talent for that specific role. So by talent, it just basically means that you need to have the right qualification, you need to have the right experience and the right motive to fill that role or to want to be in that specific role. So yeah, so it's not just focusing on filling the role and just putting anyone and everybody in the role. Your talent needs to match that role or the specifications of that specific role or the requirements, or it needs to match the description of the job. I hope that answers the question.
Okay, thank you. So we're going to take, is there any other question from social media? I think this is a follow-up question. Is one of the reasons for talent acquisition meant for position? I'm not quite sure I understand. Mbali, do you understand?
Okay. Okay,
Yambo, please.
Yeah, I think when we speak talent acquisition, remember, these are terms. In the old days, it was purely recruitment. So the word talent was brought into the picture because of the importance of regarding the people that you are checking in the labor market as talent. As much as talent is a very broad term, we've got the core and critical skills. But we take into consideration all other relevant things when we are looking for individuals. We say talent acquisition because we will then look at the strategy of the business. What are the key individuals who are driving performance of a specific organization? Who can we regard as core in terms of skills in the specific organizations? What are the typical positions within organizations which makes the organization to thrive and survive in the industry or in the market? And all these things are being part of the considerations when you advertise a role, when you are looking for individuals, how you do your interviews, your competency-based assessments or competency-based interviews that you do. You consider all these other elements, and hence we are saying talent acquisition. Talent acquisition is just, it's another word. It's a fancy word of saying recruitment and selection.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I hope that answers the question. It was a bit tricky. I wasn't sure of the wording, so I didn't understand the question. But thanks for clarifying that for us, Mpo.
No, I
see there is a question. What are some of the traits that you need to make it in HR? I think we spoke about a very critical trait earlier to say you need to have the heart for people. There are certain people who would say that, me, I love working with people. But from the engagement, and if you give specific scenarios, you can understand that it will be very, very difficult for this individual to work with people. I always say that the work of HR is very simple. Look at the pastor. If you look at the pastor and you realize that you cannot do the work of a pastor, remember, as a pastor, the first thing that you do is to teach. And teaching is not as easy as it sounds. You need to take people through, and you need to ensure that whoever that you teach, they need to arrive at this position where sometimes they do better than you as a pastor. So you are going to produce professionals, people who are doing very good, people who are making changes in the industry, and you need to celebrate and be with them and continue to grow them. And sometimes as a pastor, you are required to go and sort of be a bad cop to tell people that you cannot continue like this. So it means you need to have the heart and the skill to have those difficult conversations. If you know that whenever there's a difficult conversation that you need to take, you run away from it, then it will be difficult for you to work in HR, regardless whether you're a specialist or a generalist. But these are specific traits that you should have. The other key trait that you need to have is social skills. You need to be able to connect to people from the executive level, your C-suite, and also the individuals at the low level. You can't only speak to a specific category in the employment context. You need to be able to speak to people at the C-suite table and also have engagement with the guys from the gate, your security guard, your receptionist, and have that constant engagement with them and be able to connect and establish rapport. And you can only do it if you've got very good social skills. Your communication also need to be very effective. If you are not someone who's communicating and you are not emotionally intelligent, then it will be very difficult. Emotional intelligence, I'm saying that you should be aware about your own feelings and emotions and the feelings and emotions of others, and make sure that you've got a bit of an imbalance in your engagements. These are the key traits. If you've got emotional intelligence, you've got communication, you've got the social skills, you've got the heart for people, you will survive in human resources.
Okay. Can you put the other questions that we have for them? Okay, there's a question. What is your approach to employee onboarding? How you ensure your new talents have a smooth transition into their new roles? I think this is for Mpo.
Yeah. You can't use a generic approach. I've worked for different organizations and I use different approach in different organizations. I think what is important is that your onboarding program should not start only when the employee arrives. There are certain organizations that would have a traditional presentation when the employee arrives and they say all the relevant things in one specific setting and the employee cannot remember. So what is key? Before an employee arrives, you need to sort of give them an overview, the type of an organization that they are going to be working for, like sending specific policies or procedures, giving them access, maybe a simple video about the organization and what we do, the core direction of the business before they even start. And when they start in the business, instead of just getting an employee, taking them through what you do, giving them the necessary infrastructure and equipment, you build a process where you can take them through specific functions, preferably your line function or your operations, where they can understand what is it that the business is doing. Then once they've had days, I've got this model that I normally do. A person would spend a day with specific department. I did it with engineering companies when I was still with engineering companies. You spend a day with a specific, let's say, electrical department. You then go to electronics. You go to other department just to spend the day to understand what these guys are doing. Then you then come to the functional business unit where you'll be working, which is where now that you understand the business and the overall direction, now you'll be in a space where you can be taking about the operational direction of where you are situated and a structured training program and the IDP that will then push, because IDP is very important. When the person starts, we need to understand where they are and we need to start pushing IDP from there, which are are called individual development plans. And within that specific unit where you're working, the manager will then have an engagement with the business partner or the practitioner or the HR manager about a detailed plan in terms of what are the key things that you should know. What are specific training? Like, for instance, in some organizations, there is ERP systems that are developed in-house. You'd have to go for training of that ERP systems for you to be ready to simply start your job. So you structure such a program. But having started at the umbrella level where the person understands the organization and the direction, now you come to a specific department which talks to their job profile. Then you can detail a specific program to sort of onboard them. And it works. I don't know if I answered Melissa.
I think you answered her. Okay, we're gonna you can put on. Okay, so as a business owner, at what size of the business would you need to consider hiring an HR specialist rather than trying to manage it as the owner? At what point does a business owner get an HR specialist?
Beautiful question. I think the growth of the business will then determine the direction of human resources. Remember, human resources should be in line with the direction of the business. It means everything starts with the business strategy. If your strategy and the direction of the business, you only have five people that are working for you, the type of projects, you only deal with one project. So it will be not economically viable to have an HR person there. But as the business grows and your direction sort of grow in terms of the strategy of the business, you can then determine in terms of the people agenda, what is it that you want to achieve? So in terms of the size, I wouldn't say you must have 20 people, then you need an HR person. It will depend what is the operations of the business. We look at the model of the business itself and the whole operations. What is it that you guys are doing? And what are the key challenges? There will always be basic HR challenges. Then from those challenges, you will then develop a specific strategy, a plan, not a strategy in a small organization, a simple plan to say, what is it that I want to achieve with HR? Then a determination can be made from there.
Okay, thank you so much, Mpo, for that. Bali, do you want to add or should we continue to the next question?
I think Mpo has covered literally the core part of that question. Definitely the growth of your business will determine the need of HR. Just basically saying, when you see your business growing, immediately when you think, I need help to manage 1, 2, 3, that's when you can consider thinking of adding on some HR hand into it. So the growth of the business should definitely determine the need of an HR specialist or any other person to assist in like the further growth of the business rather. Thank you so much
for watching today's information session. We've come to the end of the session and I'm sure a lot of you took in some knowledge that our practitioners had to give today. Any final words, Mpo and Bali?
Thank you, Ndi, and thank you everyone who watched this specific discussion. And I think young people who are interested about HR, do not listen to the market and say, HR, you're not going to get opportunities. You can still come into this specific space, but be ready to work hard because it's not a scarce skill like your actuarial science where there are few people and the market is actually looking for them. You need to work very hard for you to make it into this specific industry. And once you gain entry, opportunities will grow from there. Thank you.
I think my last words are definitely do your research for any young or newly graduates that are not sure about what's going on in HR. Do your research. It's a very broad department. of organizational growth. So do your research, know about it in each and every area of it. There's different parts of it, and it's not every part that will be most suitable for you, but there should be that one part that really speaks to you. So a lot of research needs to be done about HR before you just wake up one morning and decide, I want to do HR, you know. So that's just my two cents of advice. And yeah, I hope this information session was good enough to influence more people to, you know, go into HR and, you know, live into the whole department of it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Have a great one. Bye.